Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, December 8th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 391. There's no guest. It's just me sitting on my couch in my apartment, ESPN on mute, 8:30 in the morning. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do a podcast. All right? Look, you guys, I've been away for a couple weeks, and I apologize for that. I know that you were chomping. I know that you were chomping at the bit to hear my dulcet tones into your car speakers, your Apple ear pods, or your wireless earbuds. Basically, I know that you were waiting for me and you missed me. You know what? I missed you too. So for the hundreds of people that have been listening to this podcast for the last, man, going on 7 years, getting to 7 years, guys. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Patreon folks, I got some stuff cooking for you. Don't worry. And I'm here. I was supposed to have a guest this week. I was supposed to record one on Friday, but it just didn't work out. And thankfully, and it's going to happen. And thankfully it didn't, because there was some TPS drama at work. Nothing too crazy, but it made me angry. I know a lot of people complain about their jobs, but then there's some people, like, you complain about your job, your day job or whatever, your job, and you want to do it because it's your job and it's how you make money. And when other people don't care as much as you, it can become frustrating. And I'll just leave it at that. So I stayed like an hour than I was supposed to, like an hour longer at work, trying to deal with something on a Friday. But it kind of balanced out. Like, life has balance, because on Monday it was snowing and it was starting to get pretty bad. And my boss was like, just leave at one. And I was like, oh, okay. And as I was leaving, it started to get bad for the roads, and they were just starting to salt the highway. So it ended up not sticking as bad. And the rest of the commute for the week wasn't bad. So life has balance. So it goes. But you better believe on Monday I'm complaining to my boss about the bullshit that went down. So that was that. So I've been away for a couple weeks, and I've been trying to work on some stuff and get some shit together, life stuff, and also stuff that I want to do artistically, and just really trying to make some things happen behind the scenes. But you can catch me on the Three Guys On podcast. I did a Woke Files with Randolph, of me and him just shooting the shit. So I recorded that yesterday, and that was fun. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I had a really good one. I went down to Maryland to my parents' house, and we had a good one. We didn't fry a turkey this year. I was kind of glad they didn't. It's too much cleanup. And it's like, you got to do all that outside, and it's starting to get really cold. It's been pretty cold the last couple weeks. And it's just not like my parents. I don't, they're in their 70s. I don't like them doing all that shit. And so they made two turkeys. They had one that was frozen for a while, and they had it in their freezer for a while. And then they bought another turkey. They had a turkey breast that was frozen. Then they brought a turkey from Honey Baked Ham, and they bought a ham from also a ham. The Honey Baked Ham turkey wasn't as good as the turkey breast that my mom said they paid about $7 or $8 for. That was fire. Like they put it in the, both of them were, I think with the Honey Baked Ham, you had to warm it up, obviously warm it up in the oven, and they made the, but yeah, it was great. And I hadn't had like a roasted turkey in the oven in a long time. So that was good. And then my mom made some, they made greens. We had three different kinds of greens, stuffing, and what else? Macaroni and cheese. It was good. It was good all around. I just feel like my mom, as she gets older, she can still cook. And I guess my mom and dad, like, you know, they kind of help each other out. And it was good. So mainly what I did was I just washed the dishes and help put stuff up. And they, you know, they do all that. They do the cooking, I do the cleanup. And as I was washing dishes on Thursday night, I saw my mom had a Paula Deen. She had a Paula Deen like cooking tray. What do you call it? She cooked her mac and cheese in a Paula Deen dish. And I was watching, I was like, oh my God, Paula Deen. But I think it was probably before it got racist, but she'd made before we knew that she had gotten canceled and racist. I just thought that was really funny. And it's what's funny about it is that's probably the best macaroni and cheese that she's ever made. And it was from that racist dish that she made it out of. I was like, Mom, I didn't know you had a, but she probably got it from somewhere. She probably got a hookup or a discount from Big Lots or something, where one of those places that she likes. But overall, just a good time. Got to see my uncle. Was hoping to see some cousins, but that didn't work out. Yeah, and it was good. It was pretty chill. And yeah, that's about it. Watched football, and that's pretty much it. It was just really laid back. And then back in the swing. It was good to have some time off. So that was good. I'm going to talk about some comedy, talk about some movies, and just kind of catch up with you. I wanted to shout out some, this show that I did a couple weeks ago, like the week before Thanksgiving, this show called Savage Von Wolf, that's hosted by, Noah Savage and his wife, Alyssa Wolf. They're a comedy couple. They don't do an act together. They just host a show, a monthly show at the Vaughn. And I hadn't seen them in a long time. And it was really cool because I was just having this streak of doing a few bar shows that were just kind of lackluster. And I don't know if it was like part of it was it because of me? Was it because of just like the crowds? And I was just like, I don't even fucking know. I'm doing this show and I'm not connecting with these people. And so I did that show and I had a great time. Friend of the podcast, Leah Bonema, was there. So it was good to see her do her thing. And it was really cool. And it was so, I was having fun. And they were, after the show, I just hung out. Like so many times, like I do these shows and I don't really get to hang out and talk to the other comics. So I did that. But the thing was, it was on a Thursday night and I had to work the next day. But it was worth it. So I got to hang out. And shout out to Noah and Alyssa. I had a great time doing that show. So I was glad that they asked me to do it. It was fun. It was like those rooms that I came up in, and it was just kind of good to be in that environment where I started and to have a good show in front of a pretty good crowd down there. It's like this really cool hip bar off of Bleecker Street. And it's a nice, like, it was packed upstairs. And you walk through all these people and you go downstairs and do these basements, this basement show. And it's really fun. It's like a little cavern. I forget what they, I told them before I started my set, it felt like, when I was on stage, it felt like I was inside an Edgar Allan Poe poem. I think I said something like that. Like the cask of Amontillado. I remember reading that play in not the play, but short story in like 7th or 8th grade. Yeah. So it was cool to get to do that. And I know if like a lot of you are comedy fans that listen to the show, or if you're not a comic in New York City, a lot of the shows where you start out at, where you do most of the shows when you're not in a mainstream club and you're working on your material, you do them in these bar shows, in these basements of these little bars around the city. It was cool. I was on the Lower East Side last night. I'll talk about that, but I was walking around and saw quite a few clubs that I had performed in. So I'll talk about that a little later, like bars and stuff that I was performing in. And I did the week prior, I did a show at this firehouse in Somerset, New Jersey. That was pretty cool. Like, it was one of those. I was opening for Kevin Farley, who's Chris, the late great Chris Farley's brother. And that was like an hour from me. And yeah, that was cool too. I did like 30, 35, 40 minutes. I was the only black person there. There was another guy. It was like a fundraiser, a firehouse fundraiser. There was maybe one or two black guys there, black people. So I did my thing. So that was that. So hoping to get some more shows that you guys aren't coming to, and ones that I hope you come to within the next couple of months. We'll see what happens. What else? I went to Walmart. I've been going to, like, after some of these shows, 'cause to me the best time to go to Walmart is late at night, and when there's hardly anybody there. And I must say, the Walmart that's the closest to me is in Teterboro, New Jersey, next to the airport. And I think Jay-Z has rapped about the, happy birthday, Jay-Z, happy 50th. I think he used to rap about like that airport, and a lot of celebrities and famous people, they take off and land in Teterboro. And there's a shopping complex, strip mall around, right across the street from the airport. And there's a Walmart there. It's been there for about, I want to say, under 5 years, at least 3 to 5 years old, that shopping center is. And I would say the quality has gotten a lot better. They have self-checkout now. Well, they've had self-checkout, but the self-checkout has improved. I don't think they have anybody really physically ringing you up anymore. They just have that attendant that looks like they're over it all the time. They have that there, but it's been more efficient lately. I did see one of these. I was walking around because I like to look in the toy section to see what kind of action figures they I'm watching. I got ESPN on mute, and they're showing like the college football championship games and stuff. Like, they're showing the highlights, and there's like a player that jumped up, a Georgia player that jumped up to celebrate with his coach, one of his coaches, and he knocked him down. Obviously, this big football player, he's got his uniform on, and he does, like, you know how you jump up in the air and do like a shoulder bump? They did that, but he knocked his coach down. Pretty funny. You had to be there. You had to see it or whatever. Anyway, so I'm in Walmart, and it's like, It's got to be. I'm trying to think, remember where I was coming from. I think I went to get something to eat and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get Blue, what's this movie? Good Boys on Blu-ray because I liked it so much. And it was so funny. So it's like one of the funniest movies I've seen in about 4 or 5 years. And it's like, oh, I'm going to stop by and get Good Boys on Blu-ray. So I get it, a couple other things, and I'm walking around and like I'm going to see what kind of action figures they've got. And I'm walking through around Sporting Goods and I see this white kid. He's got to be like in his maybe early 20s. And he is, I see him reaching to the top of the shelf on this end cap. And he's pulling down these knives and shit. And I was like, this doesn't look good. And his hair is dyed blue. So I was like, yeah, this guy, if I don't see I wouldn't be surprised if I saw his mugshot on the news, like in a couple weeks. It was just very like, he looked like that dude that shot up that movie theater in Colorado. Like it was just like, I know you're not supposed to profile anybody, but shit, that guy, he looked like trouble. And it was after midnight. It just didn't look right. So I just made sure I got the hell out of there and moved on with my life. God, a lot's happened. The Kaepernick thing. It was, do you know that was a dog and pony show? It was bullshit. Nobody was going to hire him. But one of the receivers that worked out with him got hired by somebody. Got a job. I don't remember who. I don't know if that's. I don't know if that's bullshit or not. Let me see. Kaepernick. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. Because I have show notes, but I didn't know. Let me see. Receivers. Kaepernick receiver signed. Colin Kaepernick's November workout produces its first NFL signing. Jordan Vesey. Let me see. After participating in Colin, this is from CNN. After participating in Colin Kaepernick's workout, wide receiver Jordan Vesey, or Veezy, lands on NFL team's practice squad. Colin Kaepernick did step on this field here south of Atlanta. Okay, dude. Anyone need to show videos that start playing when you don't click on them? Vesey, a 24-year-old from Gadsden, Alabama, went undrafted in 2018 after playing at University of California at Berkeley. He was on the Buffalo Bills practice squad before he was released in October. He had stints with the Colts, Jaguars, Titans. He never played in NFL. Vesey was playing. Vesey told the Post he believed that the Kaepernick workout aided him in landing his spot on the practice squad in Washington. So he's playing with the racial slurs. Well, good for him. I mean, Kaepernick's not signed. You know, man, I don't know. I think Jalen Rose had one of the best takes on there. Like, he was just saying how he did. And if you listen to that speech that impromptu speech that he gave at the end of, I don't know if it was impromptu or not, the speech that he gave again after the workout, Jalen Rose said he kind of sounded like a dude that was hurt, like a guy that was hurt. And it's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it did feel like he kind of had a tremble in his voice that he really wanted to play. And, you know, people bring up the Kunta Kinte shirt and all that bullshit. But, like, you're not, this is, it's entertainment. It's, technically, he did put on a show. Like, the NFL, sports is entertainment, and it's a different job. So when you apply for a job, you wear a suit and blah, that bullshit. Like, that's bullshit, okay? It's not the same as you trying to get a corporate job or some shit like that. You work at FedEx. You don't know what you would have did if he was, you know, if that was me, I would have, you know, all that bullshit. Stephen A. getting called a coon and him not backing down, him talking about it for 5 days on the show and shit. It's just a shit show. It's just a lot of people have the opportunity to be on the right side of history, and they're showing their true colors, man. And it's not gonna look good in a couple years. You know, it's just fucking sad, man. I want him to. I wish he could be playing somewhere, just because you and also Howard Bryant, who was on First Take talking with Stephen A about it. It's just like the NFL just wants to break this dude, and they want to break this dude and make him kowtow to them. And he's not going to do it. And I'm glad that he's financially stable, at least if he's not going to ever play in the NFL again. I'm glad that he's got some financial, what do you call that? Financial stability in his life, and he'll continue to do great things. But Howard Bryant said, like, yeah, they want him to kowtow, and because he is for black advocacy, because he's an advocate of black people, he's not gonna play. And because he is for these black people, he's like, oh God, I don't want black people to get killed by cops anymore, or like wrongfully get killed by cops. And they're like, fuck you, Colin, you know? Yeah, man, it's still that schism, but it's still fun to watch football. It's more fun because these black quarterbacks are out here winning. And again, why I outwardly support black quarterbacks is because of the bullshit that radio announcer said about Lamar Jackson. Oh, he can do those play action fakes because of his black skin. his dark skin, his dark jersey, and the dark football. And it's not even, and Randolph and I were talking about this yesterday. It's not even offensive to me anymore. It's just so blatant and so obvious that there's racism. My hope is that we get a Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson Super Bowl. And I think just after that Super Bowl, we shouldn't go to work the next day. Call off work the next day. I would be so happy if that happened. So I still think I would be a bit of a wreck. You know, Tim Hall and I were talking about this. But yeah, if there was one, if it was just like maybe Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady, no, that can't happen. Yeah, I think Russell Wilson's the only black quarterback in the NFC that has a shot, I think. So I'm not 100%. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to go down, but I'm hoping that at least one of them get to the Super Bowl, and it's going to be good. Like, we just had, you see it more in college, and they try to convert these guys that they play in these complicated systems in college too. So we just had Justin Fields, who was on QB1 this year. He won the Big Ten championship with Ohio State. So that was good to see. And they're just playing the highlights right now. It's kind of a close game too. Was it 28-34? Something like that. It was a close game. I didn't get to watch it 'cause I was out, but, that's why I'm really happy to see these black quarterbacks do their thing, man. Cause it's just harder for them. That's what it is, man. And so that's the reason. It's why I support him, man. And I hope everybody is starting to see. I think people see that and they know. Like, if you listen to this podcast enough, I know you see it. I know you see what goes on. It's just been like this since I was a kid. You know, when I was like 8 years old, 7 years old, Doug Williams won the Super Bowl. And then they did him dirty. Warren Moon, who who was probably the first black quarterback to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think maybe the only. They wanted him to play another position, so he spent some time in the CFL because nobody wanted a black quarterback in the NFL. So he wasted, like, he spent some good quality years in the CFL when those years should have been in the NFL. And it's just, it's fucking stupid. All it is racism, man, you know? So I'm really glad the year's turning out the way it is. The people, I've probably talked about this before, but they have the picture of, it's at least like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, and a picture of Lamar Jackson at the bottom of it. Like all these great leaders, and then Lamar Jackson cheesing on there. And then... Oh, man. And then somebody had a picture of... I think it was like... It's like a picture of like white people working the fields. And I think like a picture of Martin Luther... And I think like Lamar Jackson's in the picture. And like it's like Martin Luther King in heaven smiling down on it. I was like, oh, my God. The internet is fucking horrible, but so hilarious. So I'm happy to see that, man. I'm happy to see him winning, him beating Tom Brady, beating the 49ers, beating people that are beating who they put in front of them, man. I don't know if did they do a Monday night game? Do they play this week? Or did they already play? Or do they have a bye? They play Buffalo. That should be a good game. They play Buffalo at 1:00, so I got to make sure that I do what I'm doing so maybe I can watch this. I'll at least be watching Red Zone. Yeah, they play at 1:00. They play Buffalo. Okay. And I'm glad Cam Newton is getting rest and he's going to have foot surgery. I don't know what the fuck. My apartment complex over the last 2 years have just kind of gotten noisy. Somebody's like knocking at, I don't know these people. I don't know these people. They're not really that friendly. There's one guy that lives across from me. He's nice. There's some stuff I can't say it on the podcast. But like there's people like banging on the door all times of night. During the day, they'll slam the door. Like it's just like, because this is like a, do you call this like a garden apartment? It's like a garden apartment is like when you're in the basement. But this is like a more residential than like, it's not a high rise. I forget what you call this where I live. But it's relatively quiet. For the longest time, I've usually been the one that gets in late from doing all these shows. But just during the day when you're trying to relax, people are like slamming the doors and just it's fucking you. Anyway, yeah. So the NFL, man, it's still I know despite the schism, I know people have tapped out. But I'm still following it. It's the most fun. I've said it this year. It's been the most fun that I can remember in quite some time. A lot of that's due to the black quarterbacks, but it's become, at least for me, it's more fun. Yeah, so I just kind of have Red Zone on all day, but I do need to go to the grocery store. You ever get that feeling where you think you're running out of toilet paper? I use wipes, by the way, and you're like, oh my God, I need to go to the store. I thought you had more than you did, so that's not a great feel. So what else has been going on? I have a note, sandwiches with Jesus in them. A long time ago when I was doing theater in Chicago, I was doing a black show. I was in this show called Trouble the Water, which was like a play that was about the Hurricane Katrina, about the people. It was a dramatization of what it was may have been like for some people and Hurricane Katrina. It was like a really somber piece, but it was a lot of fun because I got to do singing. I got to sing with like some cool people and stuff, and it was really neat. I think I might have talked about this, but if you watch that R. Kelly documentary, that Lifetime documentary, Surviving R. Kelly, one of the guys that they interviewed, William Kirk, whose grandmother taught R. Kelly to sing, basically was one of his music teachers. William Kirk was on that show, on that documentary, and he was my vocal coach. He was the musical director of that show. And very talented musician out of Chicago, really cool dude. Anyway, so I was doing that show and there was this, actress I was working with and we were eating something and she said something like, yeah, this is all right. This ain't had no Jesus in it though. It's something, if it's good, it has like Jesus in it. And I was thinking about that cause Friday, I didn't have any lunch. And so I went to the cafeteria. They call it the bistro in our office building. It's basically the office cafeteria. And, you know, people complain about it. It's not the greatest food, but if you don't want to go anywhere, I don't know if you have this like at your job where if you work on a campus where there's other companies around and then you have like a central cafeteria somewhere on site and you go there because it's like sometimes at work if you don't bring your lunch and you want to eat something you don't want to leave the campus because I feel like sometimes if I leave I'm afraid that I won't come back. Like I remember one time I went to run an errand or get some lunch somewhere. And there's like, I was going back to work and then there's like the East and the West and West was like going back to work. And the other one was like just the highway home. You low key want to take that, shit and just like forget about all the responsibilities that you have at work. And you just like just fucking leave. But I would never do that, but I feel it. And sometimes I just don't want to go or you're in the groove with something. Like you're working on a project and you don't want to like leave. And sometimes I work through lunch because of that feeling, man. It's just like, ah, fuck. I'll just keep going, you know? And you know, so I went, anyway, long story short, I go to the bistro in my office building. And the turnover is really weird at that place. Like the last couple years, it's been like, get these people, I guess it's hard to keep people. I guess maybe they don't have enough hours or what have you, but there's different people all the time. And there's certain people there that like, if you get them, they can make you a good sandwich. They know you. And I usually get like a tuna wrap or like a grilled chicken or a breaded chicken wrap or whatever. And it's like, oh, I want to get, there were these two black women there and they started chatting me up. I was just like, oh, you know, I'll go with the chicken wrap. And I want spinach on it. And then one of the ladies, and I brought them spinach from the salad bar to put on my sandwich. And it was like, they're like, oh, do you want to put sauteed spinach? We actually have some sauteed spinach. And I was like, oh. And she's like, do you want to use that too? And I was like, sure, go for it. I trust you. So, oh, this is going to be good. Like, I like when people get excited about like making your food. Like there's a deli. I've talked about it before on the show. There's this deli called the Iron Tomato in downtown White Plains. I think it's on Mamaroneck Avenue. If you live in the area, that's the Iron Tomato. It was actually, you could, if you've seen the movie, I think it's called Sisters with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Like one of the opening scenes is actually shot in front of the Iron Tomato. But anyway, they make really great sandwiches and salads there. And it's a terrific deli. And they have a bakery also, and it's really good. And there's this one guy. There's a couple, like they're really nice and they're very friendly. And they take pride in making the sandwiches good for you. And like this one guy was like, yeah, this is gonna be good, man. Like he was like, yo, this shit. And when people have that vibe, you know, like, oh shit, this is about to be some good shit. When they don't put no love in it, no Jesus in it, it just doesn't taste good. And I'll give you a comparison, which hurts me to say this, and I hope my homegirl Chelsea White is not listening. She's not gonna listen to this. But this sandwich was great, and they warmed it up. It's like they had put the sandwich on a panini press, and they warm it up and whatnot. And it was a good ass sandwich, and it actually, that joint satiated me, young. It satiated me for like staying at work a long time. I didn't know I was gonna stay that as long as I did, but it fueled me for the rest of my night, and I had a late night on Friday. Yeah, it was real good. And I was like, yeah, they put Jesus in that joint. And it made me think about that actress I worked with. And I was like, yeah, they really put some love in that joint, man. Because on my way back from Maryland, I stopped at Sheetz, and there's a Sheetz. Sheetz is a place that I have a connection to because undergrad, you know, I would that was our spot. Like you get sandwiches from Sheetz and all that shit. And it's just not the same. Like in the last, it was more of a novelty. Like when I first moved back east, and it was better back then. It's just not the same anymore. Maybe it's just a certain place. Maybe it's just this location that's just not hitting like it used to. But what I did figure out, because the girl that made my sandwich, it was just like, nah. She didn't put no love in that joint. Now there was, this was like a teenage kid, but there was one time a black woman that made my sandwich. I don't know if it was there, if it was at that Sheetz or not, but it was good. But I think what I can do if I go back on my way home, and what I did this past time was I got the sandwich and I put it in the fridge. And then when I, wanted to eat it, I heated it up. I put it in the oven for a little bit, and it was actually on point. But off the rip, man, it just doesn't see. I think because their menu expanded so much, the menu's so big, and it was just like maybe it's just too much that they make. I don't know. And if Chelsea White heard this, I think she would be pissed. I don't know if any of you watched that What a Delight thing that I did. On her show, her YouTube, her Instagram / YouTube show. You know, I don't know if you, I gotta actually hit her up about some stuff. I don't know. Sometimes it's a little disappointing when places that you used to frequent when you were younger, just not the same, or maybe my taste buds are different or whatever. I don't know. But it's just a gas station place that sells sandwiches and shit. So I know why I'm so bent up. I guess the fat, I'm fat, and it's like, whatever. So that was that. But I think that's what I can do now. If I have a taste for it, I can get a sandwich and heat it up, and it'll taste good when I do that. Okay, so what am I 38 minutes in? I've blabbed for 38 minutes. So let's keep going. I hope you're still with me. I had a really good weekend. I had a really fun weekend. So after work, I was angry. I went to the movies, and so because I was off schedule. Excuse me. I had to go to this AMC in the Bronx. Now, normally when I have to go into the city or something, I would go to the AMC in Port Chester. And if you go at a certain time, if you go like right after work, I get off at 3 and then I'll just like go to the movies. There's hardly anybody in the theater and I get to chill, enjoy. It's relaxing. And by the time I'm leaving the movies, that's when the onslaught of people start coming. So I couldn't do that this time. I said, okay, I really wanted to see 21 Bridges. And I would place my ticket order. When you have the app, you can cancel and you can make, you know, do whatever you want and not have to worry about losing any money or anything, because you can just cancel before the show happens and whatnot. So I've been planning to see it, and stuff has come up, or I've been too tired or too lazy to go to the movie. And I was like, all right, Friday, I'm going to a concert. I'm going to kill time at the movies before I go to the concert in the city or whatnot. And so I was like, ah, man, I was like, the universe is trying to keep me from watching 21 Bridges, but I'm going to see it. And so I went to the Bronx, the AMC Bay Plaza in the Bronx. They've remodeled. It's actually a nice theater. It's actually like the ones that are kind of like in small towns where it's not. It's actually like I was talking about the one where I saw Knives Out. It's like it's a remodeled theater, and there's no stadium seating, but they have really nice seats. So I get there and I go to the 5 o'clock screening, and it's like, it's just really hood. It's really hood. You know, places hood are going to be like, the people are going to be savages when you see that the soda fountain isn't clean, when they have punch and juice, like kind of like, anyway, nah, it's, you know what? It's the people. It's not really the people that work there. It's the clientele. And it's just different. And they're savages. And it's like, man, I love my people. But it's like, man, you know, like I was telling Randolph yesterday, he was like, you didn't hear any of that movie. And it was actually okay in the beginning. What had happened, like, it's just there's this old lady. I was sitting in the back. I like to sit in the back. There's this old lady, and the seats reclined, and my seat was not reclined at the time. I don't think I ever reclined it that time watching the movie. So I'm sitting there, and my feet are not in the way. And this old lady just starts staring at me. And she's like she's like wants to fight me. And I was like, I'm looking at her. Like, I was just like looking at her. And she's like, can I get by? And I was like, yes, of course. And I wasn't even in her way, but I just don't think she could see. So maybe she thought that I was going to be in her way. I don't know what was going on, but she was ready to fight me. If she had to, I think she was ready to like to fight. And I was like, what are we doing here? I just want to see this movie. I just want to chill. I just want to be entertained. I just want to relax, you know? Movie, that's my sanctuary. You know, after a long, hard week of doing TPS reports, doing other people's TPS reports, I just wanted to have a good time. And so that was one thing. Then the movie starts, and then there's these kids, these teenagers. Of course, kids try to sneak in the movies and stuff like that, but this was like ridiculous. Like, okay, you sneak in the movie. Sneak in the movie and sit down and shut the fuck up. No, these kids were talking. They were coming in and out for the first half hour of the movie. Then they left. And then also before the movie, there was this one guy that kept switching seats and getting up and leaving. And it was just fucking weird. It was too. And then maybe 20 minutes into the movie, there's these three people that come in and sit in the back row. And they're like, we're trying to find these seats. I was like, oh, fuck. I was in seat 7. They were in 8, 9, and 10. And I was like, hey, guys, you're sitting next to me. This is where you guys are. Just so they could shut the fuck up. And they turned on the light on the phone. And the old lady was like, ah! Like, he had his light on his phone. One of the guys did. And she was like blinded by the light and shit. And then they sit down. They have Popeyes. And they're eating. I was impressed by that. Like, I was impressed by the way that they brought that Popeyes in without any problem. I guess nobody was going to say anything. And they don't really, like, they don't have they have a security guard at the bottom. So what it's like you go into the theater, you go and you get your, you pay for your ticket or you do what you need to do. You check in with an attendant that, you know, looks at your phone and scans your phone and all that stuff, and you show them your ID, and then you walk upstairs. And upstairs they have like an escalator and stuff and concessions and all that, but there's nobody. It's like the Wild Wild West once you get up there, and it's just people all over the place. And it was just wild. And these motherfuckers were talking through the whole movie. All shit. And just like, just like, yo, they're just explaining the plot to each other. And it was just so, and I wasn't going to say shit, because what, I'm going to fight these people? It's three against one. And they're, but they're old. When the lights went up, they were fucking old. And they were just like, oh, it's all right. It was all right. I was like, yeah, it was all right. You motherfuckers kept talking. It just, nobody, like, I just don't like it. Yeah, it's different. I don't know if I'll ever go back to that place. I did not have a good time. The movie was entertaining. I enjoyed it. I actually really did enjoy it. I'll read you the Google blurb after. Oh, shit. Hold on. Here we go. After uncovering a massive conspiracy, an embattled NYPD detective joins a citywide manhunt for two young cop killers. As the night unfolds, he soon becomes unsure of who to pursue and who's in pursuit of him. When the search intensifies, authorities decide to take extreme measures by closing all of Manhattan's 21 bridges to prevent the suspects from escaping. This movie stars Chadwick Boseman, Taylor Kitsch, Stephon James, Sienna Miller, and J.K. Simmons. Fun movie, man. I enjoyed it. It's a fun, like, you know, without really spoiling anything. It's like you kind of halfway through, excuse me, a little less than halfway through, kind of figure out what's going on, but it's still fun. And then the action's pretty cool, too. Chadwick Boseman's fine. Taylor Kitsch and Stephon James. Like, the homie Tim Hall was saying that the most compelling characters were Stephon James and Taylor Kitsch. And I would say that I agree with him. Their story was pretty interesting. Yeah, it was fun. It's definitely worth seeing if you happen to miss it. I don't know how, if you're nerds like me and are focusing on the awards movies this time of year, I get it. If you don't, you could miss this and then see it in January or February when it comes out on video and streaming and stuff. You would have a good time. You know, it's not something that you got to rush out for, but I definitely was excited to see it, 'cause I just wanted to see like a cool, fun movie. So I did enjoy it. I'm interested in hearing what the Firestarter podcast, what those guys say. I was surprised that they didn't talk about it this past week, but I tweeted at them, and Kenny was saying that he hasn't seen it yet, but he will before it leaves the theaters. And I think either Ba or Tone said that he was going to mention it, but didn't want to, wanted to be classy. So yeah, I want to, cause they have the agendas on, like on Chadwick Boseman and Anthony Mackie, like the two black guys from the Avengers. And every time one of them has a movie, like they, you know, they go back and forth and they talk about it and stuff. So I always like that exchange that they have on those. I love those dudes. They're great. So it was a fun movie. Right before Thanksgiving, I saw Queen and Slim. Okay, you guys know the movie, but I'm going to read you the blurb as I always do. Slim and Queen's first date takes an unexpected turn when a policeman pulls them over for a minor traffic violation. When the situation escalates, Slim takes the gun, officer's gun, and shoots him in self-defense. Now labeled cop killers in the media, Slim and Queen, that doesn't go right when they should be Queen. Anyway, feel like they have no choice but to go on the run and evade the law. When a video of the incident goes viral, the unwitting outlaws soon become a symbol of trauma, terror, grief, and pain for people all across the country. This movie stars Daniel Kaluuya, Jodie Turner Smith, Chloe Sevigny, Bokeem. I did not like this movie as a whole. I liked the movie, kind of lost me towards the middle. It was because the premise is fucking phenomenal, like a Tinder date gone really bad, and I just loved, like, aesthetically, it's great to look at. Obviously, the you know, Melina Matsoukas, who did Beyonce's videos and stuff. I think she did. Oh God, I'm gonna get canceled. Oh fuck. What's Lemonade? Ooh. All right, cancel me. I don't care. But she did worked with Beyonce and she's got a great eye, and it looked fucking great. The acting was good. It was fine. Lena Waithe wrote the script, and the middle of the movie, I was just like, "What the fuck is this? What are we doing here?" And then the ending, I was bummed out by the ending. I did not like the ending, but I just didn't care for the ending. But some people were telling me it's like this movie, so you know it's gonna blah blah blah. It's like that movie. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I think once I'm on the show with someone else who's seen it or something, then we'll probably break it down even more. But that middle part was just like, what? I literally threw my hands up at the end. But I think this has some good stuff in it. Like, just, I love the way the movie was set up. I love that. I loved Bokeem Woodbine. He's fucking fantastic. Like, he's the best part of the movie. And it's just like when I talk about, actors, like, especially like when you're in a certain area, when you're in a certain region of the country and you're an actor, you want to try to sound like the people of that region to bring more authenticity to your performance. And he went there and he was doing something different with his voice. And he's like really trying. He's like making like strong choices. And like, he's kind of swinging for the fences with this. And I just don't think he's severely underrated. He's an underrated actor off the rip, and he's black, so that's different. Anytime you do a show like Fargo and you blow everybody off the screen and with your performance, and you just like this subtle, really great performance in that, like, you know, you're the real deal. This is a dude that should be working a lot more. Terrific performance by him. Great sex scene between the two leads. It was so good that it was just like one of those where it was like, should I be watching this without lotion? What are we doing here? What are we doing? But the way that it was placed, the way that it was juxtaposed with another thing that was going on, it was like, oh no. Oh God. And I just didn't, overall, I would say like C plus. It just lost me. I was just kind of like the middle of the, I was just like, what are we doing? And it made me feel like parts of it made me feel like, with certain elements, they're not the same movie, but it made me want to easily think about this movie, The Hate You Give. And it just made me think like, was that better? But then like people, the critics are, this is a very polarizing movie. And the critics are going back and forth at it. And it's like, oh, can you critique black art? And you should be able to. And I don't, and people are like going at Lena Waithe and all this shit. And like, oh, I don't like her. I never did. Or because she said something like, I read the article, but she talked about how she was influenced by more than just black people. And I really don't care to read too much about this movie because it's just like I just didn't like it as much. My expectations were pretty high. I was excited to see this and I wanted to see it before the media frenzy. So I was glad that I did and I kind of formed my own opinion. And it's interesting listening to my peers and people in the community talk about it. But I don't think you have to like hate Lena Waithe because you didn't like her movie. Like I liked The Chi. You know, I liked what she did in Master of None, but people are just kind of attacking her whole career. I think she deserves a space to create along with her peers, along with everybody else that's doing their thing. And I'll always check for what she's doing. This one just didn't do it for me, but I don't think that's an indictment on her character or anything. But I think people that already don't like her or are ready to, you know, critique, are ready to just kind of pounce on her, you know, because in one moment, everybody's like, oh my God, I really loved that coming out at that Thanksgiving episode of Master of None. And then this happens and they're just ready to fucking, you know, scratch her eyes out, but it's fine. You know, I was just disappointed. My expectations were really high. I was excited to see it. And I was like, what the fuck? What are we doing? What is this? Why did this happen? I don't know why. I don't know. Because if you were going to end it that way, if you were going to end it the way it ended, those of you that have seen it, if you end it the way you end it, why do we need that shit in the middle? I think maybe I would have been more okay with that. There are people that I texted with, like, after. I was like, oh, it's kind of like this movie. And I was like, yeah, okay. All right. It's one of these things, like these movies that evoke black trauma, where some black people think that you shouldn't see black people be sad on screen at all. And I don't think that's fair. We have emotions just like everybody else, and they deserve to be explored, you know? As an actor, that's what I want to do. I'm a black dude. I want to go through the ups and downs and do all that on screen and be a storyteller. So you can't just take all that away, you know, but I understand. But like, it's like a movie, like they're kind of comparing this to Waves. And I do like the fact that this was a contemporary. What I do like about it is all the stuff that I said aesthetically. The acting's good. There's some not by the leads that were just like, why, this is like a little too, I didn't care for some of the choices that this one dude made in the movie, but you know, but this like the scene at the fast food restaurant, but yeah, like Waves, like, you know, Tim and I discussed that. That's like very traumatic and stuff like that. So I think there's a place for that. If there's a place for it all. And then the thing that bugs me, Queen and Slim's not the only black movie that came out. At least with this podcast, I try to let you know like what's out there. Like, we'll talk about Fast Color. You could like that or you could not like it. Last Black Man in San Francisco, Waves, The Weeknd, which is a very, like I told you a couple weeks ago, a month or two ago, it's a very pleasant, fun movie. There's people dealing with some shit, but it's not earth shattering, you know, but it's about, I don't know. There's plenty of black stories out there. And with all these outlets, with all these podcasts, all this media, all this content, there's coverage of that. And you can see that without, you know, you can find your place. And I'm just glad that there's more of it out there and there's more to talk about. But I think it's good that it's got people talking, but I don't think that whether you like this, if you didn't like this movie, I don't think it should be your critique on somebody as a, what you think about this. You don't have to shit on Lena Waithe if you didn't like the movie. That's basically what I want to say. But that's internet people that always want to keep shit going. So yeah, see it for yourself. What did you think? Did you guys like it? Let me know. Please communicate with me. I feel like I'm throwing this shit out in there in an abyss, and I'm wondering how long if I can keep doing this. But so it goes. Just a couple other things. Was there another movie I wanted to talk about? Yeah, we'll talk about those later. So yeah, so Friday night after I went to see 21 Bridges, I went to see this band called San Fermin at Brooklyn Steel. And there's a San Fermin is an indie rock band that's based in New York, and they've been around, I think this is like maybe the first album came out maybe what, 2011? Wikipedia says their origin is in 2011, but anyway, all right. So I went there. My friend Claire Wellen from Youth in a Roman Field, she's a friend of the podcast. She's in this band now, and I went mainly just to see her and this band, because I knew of them because Claire was working with them, and I was like, yo, Claire, can you get me on the list for this show? I went into her DMs and was like, Claire, can you, you know, just kind of make something happen? She's like, I can't. She's like, I'll try, but you know, it could be rough, blah, blah, blah. And this was the last stop on their tour. Their last show was at home. And I had never been to Brooklyn Steel before, and she made it happen. And I was excited. And going there, it's like Brooklyn Steel is just like it's a capacity is 1800. It's in the middle of nowhere in a Brooklyn that's becoming like, you know, more and more gentrified as it's become more of a city, like it's a borough, but it's just kind of becoming more Manhattanized to a certain degree, where this venue is like from the Bowery Presents people that have Terminal 5, which I've talked about, Mercury Lounge, Music Hall of Williamsburg, a lot of these venues across the city, across the, you know, really like Brooklyn and Manhattan. And it's a really nice venue. It's like, it's a smaller version of Terminal 5. And when I was reading up on the venue, I was like, oh shit, is this? So I made sure that I had comfortable shoes. I had my Kobe's, and I had a every time I go to one of these things, like maybe my musical taste, it doesn't really, I'm not like Elton Howard on Three Guys On, but like shout out to Elton Howard, where like he definitely dresses young and he loves like the trap music, and his musical taste skews young. And I think to a certain degree, mine does too, but it's more of like young people doing adult contemporary 96 point. If you're from the Maryland, D.C. area, like that 96.3 WHUR stuff that like, or Quiet Storm stuff that you kind of roll your eyes when your older cousin's listening to something, or your mom or dad is like listening to that music, and those artists become the people that I like. But it's younger people taking their stab at, it's just like Moonchild. When Moonchild talked about Moonchild, and I like read up on them and was watching interviews on YouTube of them, they're like, oh yeah, we grew up liking, you know, Jill Scott and D'Angelo. So it's like, okay, so you like the people that I like, and you're kind of making their music, you're expressing yourself, and those people are your inspiration. So San Fermin's like indie rock, and I don't know that much about indie rock. I know obviously, you know, I love St. Vincent and I'm just supporting my friend. I want to see her do her thing. And I, like I told Claire when she was on the show, you know, she makes music. And I told Nicolay this too, like they're making music that I didn't know that I liked until I saw it, heard it be presented in front of me. So long story short, I go to this place and it's like this big, huge warehouse in Williamsburg, and I don't know if that's even Williamsburg the way they say it is, but it's like Williamsburg's kind of expanding so much. But anyway, I get there, I have on some jeans and I have on a flannel shirt and a hoodie, and I just feel like a fucking undercover cop. And there's all these white kids, there's some sprinkle of black kids. And I get to the venue and there's nobody, there's people that start to file in, but there's not that many people there. And I'm looking at the venue and I see, like, up front they have a rail where you can rest on. And I remember the last time that I was at Terminal 5 when I went to a Toro y Moi concert, and I was like, should I be in the back with those old people? With those older people where there's like a rail there and you can lean on them? And like, I think they all had New Balance sneakers on. And I said, well, I want to be in the front. I can get a couple clips from, you know, for the memory bank or to post on Instagram and all that shit. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be up here with these young people. And I'm going to get just kind of chill on this rail. And I kind of like, there was security there. And all the security folks are like these young black people. And they have their jackets on. And I kind of felt like an undercover cop, like, because I was like a big, huge black guy in the front of the place, and people were kind of around me, but they didn't bother me. That's one thing when you're a big black guy, sometimes people are afraid of you. But then once the show started, people kind of moved in. Anyway, so I was always think about that, especially the last time I was at that Moonchild show where I just felt like an old guy. But there's always people older than me. And after the show, there were literally gray haired people at that show. Anyway, there was this band called Wild Pink that opened. They were really good. Like, the show was supposed to start at 8:30. They came on at 8:29. They rocked out for like a half an hour. They were good. It was almost like they were a jam band. And like, because they were also from Brooklyn. They're not a jam band, but like they were just like rocking out, and they were good. They sounded good, and they seemed to know like a lot of people there, because I think they're a Brooklyn based band, and they were good. And then maybe for another, then San Fermin came on probably like 9:30-ish, and they rocked for over an hour, I want to say. And so Claire plays the violin or the viola. She plays an instrument. She sings. And so sometimes she sings a lead and she does backup. She's just a friend. She's a colleague. We're not like, she fucking leveled that place. Claire is a tiny girl, a tiny woman, and the voice on that girl is amazing. Like, I've seen her at Mercury Lounge, which is like a small venue. I've seen her at this like barbecue spot in downtown New York. I've seen her quite a few times. But seeing her in this huge, vacuous, like, this, I don't even know if that's the right way to put it. Just like a huge warehouse. A couple thousand people. She fucking leveled the place. And I can't really talk about her the way that I don't want to make anybody else look. I've said too much. I need to say less. San Fermin is dope. They're like I think they were like 8 or 9 piece band, and they fucking just sounded great. There are a couple moments that I wish that I got on on video, but they fucking rocked out. They were very like smooth and in the pocket. So I want to, they did some songs from their latest, let me just see what the name, because they did like I think the album's only like 25 minutes long. Are they a 9-piece? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, they're a 9-piece. So Claire plays, she does play the violin. I know I'm right. I was just trying to make sure that I didn't say the wrong thing. So they're not, it's 9 of them. And they're fucking great, man. Like, they're a really great band. And they have this album. I think it's called The Cormorant. Singles. They have some live albums. The Cormorant 1. And it came out in October. And it's only like 25 minutes long. And they did a lot of songs from that. And they did stuff from their catalog. I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know too much about them. On my way down to the show, I was listening to their 2017 album called Belong. And they're really good. So if you're into that, you know, check them out on Spotify or Tidal, wherever you listen to music, and check them out, see if you like them. And I want to I'll recommend you this really fucking dope. I think I tweeted this before, you guys. This thing where Youth in a Roman Field, where Claire did this thing in Iceland. Okay, so it's called Youth in a Roman Field. If you just type this in, Youth in a Roman Field, The Departure, Apartment Sessions. And I want to watch it again. It's like, it's Claire in Iceland with this band. And it's like, it's, then they're doing it outside. It's fucking amazing. If you're just in, it's dope. And so she just like, I was just so proud that I knew her. I was like, she was on my podcast. I was like a nerd, you know, watching. And it was so fucking cool to see like somebody that I know, like perform at that high level like that. I know so many talented people in this city, man. New York, it's so fucking cool. It was so cool to get to, like, after the week that I had, like just like a long, busy week, to just get to experience that. One of my favorite things to do, go see a live concert. So I think that's it. I've gabbed enough, and I hope this was somewhat entertaining for you. And I hope that you enjoyed this. Patreon folks, have not forgotten about you. I got some stuff coming. I'm going to provide you with some content. Subscribe to the Patreon, folks. There's good stuff over there. That's all I can say about that. I'm going to be, for those of you that are in the tri-state area, I know that I'm going to be at the Borgata February 9th through 14th. So if you want to have a getaway with your loved one, come out to the Borgata on February 4th, at least one of those days, or on February 14th, Valentine's Day, in Atlantic City. The Borgata is really nice. They got nice restaurants there. A couple people that I know, a couple couples have come to see me out there and have had a good time. One of my coworkers actually came down with her husband and they made a nice little weekend out of it. So, you know, you get to come to the show and have some good times with your loved one. And maybe hopefully a special announcement is coming soon. I'm hoping, in my heart of hearts, I'm hoping that something works out that I hate to be so cryptic, but I'm hoping that it happens, and I hope that I'm hoping some things that I'm hoping for are going to happen. So we'll see. I will let you know and keep you posted. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.